Welcome to the World of Women Create podcast series, where we step inside the vibrant, paint-splattered, and high-energy worlds of the artisans and makers from the pages of our magazines, Where Women Create and What Women Create. We'll also meet special guests who are entrepreneurs and experts in their field. From our creative corner to yours, we're inviting you into inspiring conversations with exceptional women. I'm Susan Harold, Editor-in-Chief of Women Create. Join me as we sit down with visionary makers and innovative entrepreneurs to explore the beautiful chaos of the creative life, the trials that test us, the triumphs that fuel us, and the surprising paths that lead to those undeniable creative sparks. Thank you for being a part of our creative world, the world of Women Create. Welcome in, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am super excited about this conversation we're going to have. And my gut feeling is that you're going to click on this podcast thinking you're going to learn one thing, but you're actually going to learn that and so much more. So without further ado, I want to welcome in Lisa Foley Holcomb. She is a creative director, writer, visual storyteller, and award-winning self-portrait photographer. She's the founder of the Golden Brand and Photo Club, which is a global creative community that empowers women to photograph themselves as a way to build creative confidence and redefine how they see themselves. Her work has been featured in so many publications, Arc Digest, Better Homes and Gardens, The Good Trade, Mother Magazine, and of course, Where Women Create and What Women Create. She was also named Artist of the Year for her approach to self-portraiture and visual storytelling. Lisa lives in Oregon with her family. Welcome in, Lisa. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, of course. Hi, Susan. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we have so much to get into. So let's go ahead and dive right in. I think where I'd like to start is if you could just kind of explain to everyone your photo club and thoughts and process behind photo club. And then I'd love to get into sort of how you handle brand photos. So honestly, which came first? Did the photo club come first or did the brand photo business come first?
Yeah, so the photography business definitely came first.
Okay.
And that story, it was a result of the pandemic and a move from Los Angeles to the Oregon coast during the pandemic and into a very, very small town with a much older community than what I was used to. So I'm here. It's beautiful. It's isolated, though, and I still need to make a living. I still need to earn money. And my clients need to move their brick and mortars online, so they need photos. And so I had to innovate this process of working with people. And those first photo shoots, believe it or not, were taken over Zoom. I was screenshotting Zoom images and then editing them. And actually, they look great. If I posted them in my Instagram feed today, you would not know the difference.
I'm sure.
But yeah, but it was, you know, I knew that there was probably a more streamlined way of doing it. And eventually some tech came out and caught up with what people were trying to do remotely during that time. Mm-hmm. And there were a few early apps that came out for virtual photography studios. In that, I was able to take the photo virtually, meaning they download the app. So the client puts the app on their phone and then they open up the app and it opens up a completely private studio. And the only thing I have access to is the shutter and I can control which lens we're using. So I can toggle back and forth between selfie mode and the back lens and I can focus, I can adjust exposure. I can do all the things I would do if I were in person, but I'm not in person. And I started to notice during those photo shoots that the women really were comfortable and they were more chatty and they had moments of relaxing in between shots because number one, they can't hear the shutters. So they don't know when I'm photographing. And number two, I'm not there with a massive camera pointed at them that puts everybody sort of on the defensive and feeling powerless.
For sure.
I
It's
suppose.
intimidating. It's intimidating
It
to
is.
be in front of the camera. I'm just so fascinated by this. And I know we talked a lot about it and featured you in the winter issue of What Women Create because it's so nuanced. It's so different from what I've ever known photography to look like. So tell me about how, obviously there's that comfort level, but it probably even went a step further, I'm imagining, with these women. Yes, you feel more comfortable, but I'm sure that results in much better images as well.
Absolutely. And I just want to say too that this photography thing and this expectation of, okay, there's one expectation for how you should look, right? And be in the world. So that's the first level. And then there's this expectation that because you can create something beautiful or because you have all these other talents in your back pocket, you should also be good on camera. You should be able to translate that in a media form like photos. And that's not something most of us are trained to do. Most of us aren't actually familiar with our own faces, right? So we get in these photo shoots and people are taking our pictures and there's the expectation of the photographer and, oh, who is the photographer seen before me? And I bet they were a lot better at this and I'm so awkward. And all that self-talk and that language that's happening in your head is really debilitating and it's putting you on the defensive and it shows up in your body language. So, being virtual with these women, oh, and also a bonus is most of the times they were in their own creative spaces. So, we weren't in some cold third studio space. So, they're already cozy. This is their zone, this is their vibe. And we're just having conversations and they sort of relax and their shoulders go down and their body opens up and they start to be naturally more expansive and they stop trying so hard and they have more fun. And that's where the magic happens. I
I
mean,
bet.
and in studio sessions, there's a lot of pressure on a photographer just to have empathy for them too, to get that out of a person in an artificial environment. You know?
Definitely.
And yeah, and I think that's why so many photographers resort to 1, 2, 3 step pose. This is how I do this. And we go through the motions and then you leave, right? My process is more organic and it's more collaborative. And I'm also telling them what I'm doing and why I'm having them do it. And I'm calling them over to the phone and I'm like, look at these pictures. Do you see the difference when you do this versus this? So they're learning in real time and they're feeling more empowered and they're getting information they never had. And so this is all just to say, going through this process gives them information about what they can do.
And I think, so many women who are probably listening to this podcast who have businesses, who are creators, who want to put themselves out there on social media, or they want brand photos for their business. It is like the last thing you want to do, right? I mean, there probably are a handful of women who are like, I can't wait for my photo shoot. But I think for the most part, it isn't something most of us really feel comfortable with or look forward to. So ahead of time, realizing that you're in this comfortable state, this comfortable atmosphere, your own home or your own studio, and sort of working in this way, it is so much less intimidating. And I knew that, women who are in that same predicament would really benefit from learning about this and sort of meeting you today and getting to hear why it works so well.
Yeah, well, and that actually leads me to the photo club part. So what you described about enjoying the creative process or the work or eventually knowing that you're going to need those photos, that's what I ran into. So I'd come up with this method. I was photographing women through the app at this time, and then I realized the only way people are going to find out about this is if I go on social media and talk about it. And so guess who's on the other side of the camera now? I'm trying to figure it out. But I do want to say at that time, this ties into the photo club and why a lot of the women join there in particular, their motivation for saying yes to basically sitting for self-portraits and looking at those photos, right? Doing something really uncomfortable was the moment I had in my 40s when I just kind of realized I thought I'd have it figured out by now. I don't really like where I am. I don't really like who I am. I'm not satisfied with any of this, and I don't know why, and I don't know what I want instead. And I mean, that just kind of sums up a lot of our experiences in a nutshell. And so my reaction was not normal. I want to own that. There's a little humor in this because my reaction was, oh, yeah, well, I'll show you. I'm going to take some really great photos of myself. I'm going to show those things online and we can just bypass this whole thing that I don't want to unravel. So I sat down with my phone, made it really simple, and, took out like any kind of unnecessary tech, just me, my phone, and a tripod. And I took self-portraits for 30 days and I looked at the photos and it was really hard. It was one of the, I mean, besides childbirth, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life because no one was making me do it but myself.
Right. And it is so hard. It is so hard to see photos of yourself. And, we are our worst critics. I mean, we find every little, wrinkle, lump, bump, whatever it is, and we're so difficult on ourselves. And so you did this without any intention except to sort of initially, I would say, the intention was just to sort of talk about your brand photo business, right? And so you did this 30-day challenge for just you. You were the only one in your group at the time. Okay.
Party of one.
Party of one. I love it.
Yeah, so it's just me figuring this thing out, basically doing battle with myself every day. About halfway through, I flipped the camera around and started taking photos with my phone on the back camera. And I realized I had a completely different reaction to those photos than I did on the selfie side. When I couldn't see myself, I couldn't perform. I couldn't make myself look a certain way before I took the picture. I just kind of got what I got. And the camera tells the truth. It just does. And whether you like it or not, it just does. And so, what I realized during that second half of the 30 days was this is just information that I didn't have before. What can I do with this information? And part of that was actually looking at the photos and not deleting them. And it just, I didn't set out to make it 30 days, but it just so happened around that month mark, I went back to the first photos that I took. Took the ones that were so frustrating, and there was so much negative self-talk that came from them, and my heart just broke. Like, I still get goosebumps talking about it. I had, for the first time, so much empathy for myself and how much pain and how unkind I had been to myself that whole time when I was right in front of me there the whole time. And it what it did, that whole process, was it really brought me back to myself, and it taught me that I belong to myself. And I had to show my brain that, so my brain would stop being on high alert whenever it saw, quote, bad photos. That's why my course is called that. It's called No Bad Photos, by the way, because those things we think are bad are just information, and you can actually look at them. Get your brain to ease off of being on high alert. So you're not going to have that emotional response and trigger every single time to your picture, the one that ruins your day, that you make mean everything when it really means nothing. Because in the end, a photo is just a vehicle to get you where you want to go to the next thing. And so I started talking about it. And then women wanted to know how to do it. And so I started taking really early. Do you remember Clubhouse? Do you remember when people were on Clubhouse having like conversations because we were all so lonely to talk to one another?
I don't, but
People probably do. They probably remember Clubhouse.
Clubhouse. What was it like a just a platform, like a
Yeah, audio platform
okay.
where you could be live with people so you didn't have to be on video like Zoom. And I started taking women through this process. And then I turned it into an 8-week challenge, which became a 6-week challenge. And then the women wanted to keep going. So then I started a membership around it. And now we're going into our 6th year. And we have a
Wow.
current group in there right now of like 36 plus women, all ages, all backgrounds, all there for a universal reason, but for personal reasons as well. And they're all doing this 6-week process together. And it makes such a difference having other people to do this. And they're,
I
because they,
bet.
yeah, because you're doing something really vulnerable, but it's not met with, ooh, ooh. It's met with like, wow, look at what you did. I want to do that in my photos next week. And they're just giving each other so much momentum and support. And so that fear is going away. And
Right.
it's really amazing.
Well, and like I was saying before, these women who need to put themselves out there on social media, but they're waiting for that perfectly poised picture that in the back of our head we all think we need in order to put out there, no, like you say, no messy background. We all think that's what we have to have. So whereas your brand photo business is sort of like that opportunity to get those high-end images that you need for your website or, whatever you want to use them for, the challenge, the 30-day challenge in the photo club, your 30-day challenge, but the what came from that being the photo club really empowers you to be able to take those types of images of yourself all the time and reprogramming your brain to not think everything has to be so perfect. So you're really learning something that's going to take you through your business. Because let's face it, there's no business these days, or very few, where you don't need to put yourself out there. You are your brand. You have to, especially if you're a creator or an entrepreneur, you have to put yourselves out there. People want to see you talking. They want to see images of you. They want to believe that you're behind your site, right? Or your IG page or whatever it is. So you're empowering these women not just to take a handful of images, but on how to take those images and be on camera for good. So it's really more than just, a handful of images that are gonna, be great for a short period of time. So I want to hear sort of some stories about women in the photo club, what they learned, what you learned, what you didn't think you were gonna learn. And that's kind of where this comes in when I first mentioned before I introduced you. I think we go into this thinking, well, I'm just going to get some really great images and I'm going to learn, how to be comfortable.
It takes a turn. There are, I mean, I don't want to reduce any woman to an archetype, but I think if I named a few, we could all probably put our hands up for one or a couple. So some women come into the photo club because they're looking at the photos and they realize they're not in them and they're strategically taking the photos to avoid being in the photos. Other women come in because they're just really busy and they have an awareness that they haven't stopped to do this thing, and there's something calling them to it, to take a moment for themselves and do this. Some women come in because they just want to learn how to use their iPhone cameras better and like tips to get better photos. And then others just realize, like, I do so much to elevate other people. Oh my gosh, wait, can we talk about this for a second? There
Sure.
is a specific one that is people in highly aesthetic industries in particular, so interior designers, artists, photographers, people who do makeup or fashion styling, they come in and they have so much shame around being able to create this elevated aesthetic or this feeling for someone else, and they do not know how to do it themselves. And they have so much shame at being not great at it. And when they find their way to the photo club, I always feel like it's a little win for humanity because you've got to overcome a lot to humble yourself to say, I need to do this. And I think I want to take the pressure off of that. And you kind of touched on pressure being a big thing too. So anyway, so once women of those motivations, right, those reasons for joining, once they kind of can admit that this is something they want to do and they overcome all the things that are telling them that it's vain, or you can do so much better things with your time, or well, what's the investment really, right? They come in and they start taking the photos and they start looking at the women who've been in there for a while, who've gone through a couple of photo challenges. In some cases, we have women who've done this 6 or 7 times, and they're not doing it 6 or 7 times because they're like, well, one of these times it's going to work. They're doing it because they're like, it works every single time. And this is incredible. So the new women come in and they see these legacy members that we have, and they're looking at their photos and they're talking to them and they're realizing all these women are just like me. And they come in and they start taking the photos. And at the beginning, everybody has the photo on the pedestal, the final result of the perfect image, like you said, the brand image, the perfectly styled background, the perfect lighting, something I can put on my website. If I'm going to devote the time to this, I'm going to need to be able to post it on Instagram, right? So they come in with that and then they start taking the pictures and then they realize, okay, this is very vulnerable and I'm having a lot of feelings I didn't expect to have. And then at some point during those 6 weeks, because that's how long their challenge is, one photo a week for 6 weeks, they realize it was never about the photo. I took this thing and I made it mean so much and I made it my nemesis And it was never about the final photo. And if you want to read about these stories on my Substack, I would never gatekeep this from you. I have a series called Women by Women, and those are interviews with women who've been through the photo challenges. And they all say some form of the most freeing thing for me was I don't really care what the photo looks like anymore. I have no feelings about it either way.
Which is such a graduation, really. It's such a progression of from where they started. So it really isn't just a journey about photos. And that was kind of my point. It's a mental journey too, and look, I know this happens because you see the nasty comments where women have this tendency in a lot of cases, not all women, to judge other women. And when you are scrolling on Instagram, you can either be that woman who is going to find what's wrong with every single other person and just be negative and think, oh, she doesn't look very good in that photo, or oh, I can't believe, she took that image without makeup on, or whatever the case might be. There's those types of women. But I think when you go through a process like this where you learn to accept yourself, that negativity is really yours. It really isn't about the other person. It's about you not feeling great about yourself. And when you go through a journey like this, like your photo club, I think on the other end of that, you also start to give grace to other people because you've learned how to give grace to yourself. And I know that's sort of like this more therapy session in a sense, but I don't doubt that isn't a
No, it
therapy session.
is. It is therapy. And that's part of it is that they'll say, I thought I was coming in for photos and wow. No, it is. And you're right about that, the projection of people making comments about other people because it's how they feel about themselves or because it's something they're envious of. And that actually came up this week when the women shared their photos this week. It came up in a few of the stories. They just, like somebody was focused on a particular body part that they had been told a lot of stories about from other girls in high school, and none of us could see what the issue was. And we all decided they were envious because this person had a very perfect nose. And instead, they were made to feel paranoid about it their whole lives. And that was a moment of healing. Or there could be women who grew up in very strict religious backgrounds, and they weren't ever taught that you should feel beautiful and be free and vivacious and embrace a voluptuous body, and that there's shame around that. I just think that it really just breaks my heart. And these are women in all industries. And when you're not carrying that pain and those stories out in the world, and when you're free from them, you can really help others realize that there's another way to go about things. I'm glad you
For
brought
sure.
that part up.
I mean, we all have stories about ourselves, like you said, especially from when we're young. And the majority of those stories just they're just made up. They're just things we thought, or one person said one negative thing, even though there could have been 100 positive things. We'll focus on that one negative comment about our appearance. That's what we tell ourselves for, years and years. And sometimes we don't even realize we're doing it, until you get into a situation like this. So for the women in the club, you mentioned there's one image per week. So what types of prompts do you give them? I don't want you to give away all the details of your amazing course, but how do they get started? So someone who's listening right now thinking, well, maybe I could do that, but I don't know. Where do you even start?
Well, I put everything that I did during those 30 days and everything I learned about the psychology and what your brain is actually perceiving and what your emotions are telling you into a course. So, in the club, we go through the theory behind the course and the particular way of taking photos, and they go through a little structure flow. So, one thing I firmly believe is you shouldn't get in front of the camera without a plan. And so they set an intention, they build a mood board, they look at images of what it is they're thinking of doing that week. And I'll get to the prompts in a second. And so they're preparing mentally to go into this process. It's just like if you journal or if you meditate, right? If you meditate, you're going to find a quiet spot. You're going to make time in your day. You're going to be very intentional about getting into the mindset to go meditate. You're not just going to get off of a gossip session with your best friend and then go jump into a meditation. That's not going to work. You're going to have a very frustrating experience. So you have to set the tone. And so that's what they're doing. And then they go into their self-portrait session. And I put a different prompt in for each week. So there's 6 weeks, there's six prompts. And each one of is a creative prompt, and it's designed to get them into the possibility of what they can do to create their interpretation of this prompt. And none of them look the same. That's what's so fun. Nobody ever does the same thing. And that takes away the pressure. Well, what do I do in this photo? Right. So I'm not just saying go outside and take a photo. They're very specific. So they'll be like, explore light and shadow, or explore the curves of your body, or how much physical space can you take up in your photos this week? How much can you expand your body? How big can you be? Right. So it's each one of them is designed to do to counter something they would normally do. To get them to do the opposite or notice the
Opposite.
opposite. So, in the background, they're learning about light and they're learning about camera angle and they're learning photography in the background of just doing it. I learn by doing. So, if you learn by doing, this is for you. But also, they're developing and staying true to their own point of view. They're not just mimicking my photos or someone else's photos, they're really developing their own creative practice. And each of the prompts does that for them. Then the other part, they take their photo, they have to sit and they have to look at their photos right after the session to sit down, look at their photos. Oh, and then they're taking the photos with the back camera, not the front camera. So we can't see ourselves. And our image is not mirrored. It's not a reversed image. It's not what you see in the mirror. It's flipped on purpose because we want that brain to get the new information. We want that brain to calm down. So there's neuropsychology happening in it too. And they're looking at their photos and they're promising to not delete the photos. Very important to not delete the photos. And then they're just putting them away and moving on with their lives until next week when they do it again. Then at the end of the 6 weeks, they have a benchmark photo that mimics the very first photo that they do. And they go back and they look at that first photo. And it's usually like, chills and waterworks. And because when you're in it, you don't realize the progression and you don't realize the change is happening, or you register it in the moment, but then you're like, oh, I had that fire of noticing the change and now it kind of fizzled. You always have those photos to go back, that very first one, and see where you started your journey. And then you can clock your emotional reaction to that image now versus when you first sat down and looked at it. And it is not the same reaction.
Just like you
So,
said, when you did it, you had such a different
100%.
reaction, right?
Yep. And then the benefit of sharing to the club, it's the practice of sharing in the community. So everybody's posting, and then before people post their own photos from the week, they go and they comment and they give love to everyone else first before they post their own. And by doing that, they're learning how to give love so that when they look at their own photos, they now have an example of what they can say to themselves, because many women don't. And then the women who are receiving it are having the benefit of 30 different perspectives on something they created. So they have their story about what it looks like, but now they're getting everyone else's input. And it's all positive. There's none of that you were referring to
Right,
before.
it's a
There's no
safe place.
competition. It's a safe
Yes.
place. And everyone's in their own lane because they set their own intention from the very beginning. And they're all held to that through the 6 weeks.
I love it. What a great, great opportunity for women. I mean, I think I want to do it. I'm like,
You
I think
should.
I
It
could
would be
really
so
benefit
fun.
from this. So I do want to talk. You had mentioned your Substack, and I do sort of want to not only talk about it, but give you huge kudos because your Substack has suddenly just completely taken off. You're ranked like top 100. If I'm remembering correctly, I want to say 88, maybe around
Yeah,
there.
I actually hit 46 last week. So
What?
I know.
Oh my God, top 50. Scratch that, top 50, which is amazing. And I love the title, which you had said, I would never gatekeep this from you. And it is just lovely. It's TV, it's movies, it's self-help, it's recipes, it's fashion, it's beauty, it's all the things. So that's how I would describe it, but I want to hear how you would describe it.
Yeah, exactly. I was
Okay.
tired of segmenting myself. I was tired of, being the just the creative director and the photographer online, or in my business, or getting to flex skills in certain ways. When the truth is, I've had a clothing line. I am a chef. I've had all these lives before I got to this point, and she deserves time in the sun too. And I needed to create. Okay, so when I launched the Substack, and this is the advice I give to anybody who's going to do a Substack, don't make it so narrow that it's a job that you have to show up for. And the benefit for me of that platform is like you can really bring your full self and your whole background and tell your whole story in one place, and then kind of get your, we call it putting your lore down, so you get all the back lore of your history, and then you just see who comes and who enjoys it. And you don't really have to deal with an algorithm, or you don't have to deal with getting seen over there. You can really just truly be you and
It's
behave
so
like a
much more
human.
authentic, right?
Well,
Because, like you say,
absolutely.
because so much of what we do on Instagram and Facebook and even Pinterest is we're trying to feed that algorithm. We're trying to, what do they want us to do so that other people can see it? And it's not necessarily what we want, it's just what we know we have to do, where this is just pure, this is just very authentic.
Yep. And so for me, it's just fun because I can be myself, and it's not like my husband made a comment. He's like, so I was telling him he should do a Substack because he's a writer. And he said, yeah, but you work really hard. And I said, well, but I can't turn it off. And, it's not work to me. It's fun to generate the
It's
content
probably
for it.
all the things that are moving around in your head on a daily basis anyway, just put on paper or put on a
Yeah.
screen, really, more than
And how
paper.
good does it feel to have a spot to put it and people who go, oh yeah, we like this, So I think, I mean, that's what Instagram used to be like 20 years ago.
Right. Well, and it's funny because Lisa and I met, gosh, was it almost a year ago now? When you were in town in San Diego, and you had helped us with featuring a few artists in our expanded issue of the fall issue of Where Women Create last year. And, there's just people you immediately hit it off with. I know you and I just really, really hit it off. But what I learned from your Substack that we didn't have enough time to get into in our 1 hour happy hour is just how hilarious you are. You really are, well, a great writer. But freaking funny. I mean, you really are. And I'm so, again, your Substack for me, when I read it, I kind of never really know what I'm going to get, but I know I'm going to laugh.
Okay, that's the highest compliment. First of all, thank you so
Oh,
much.
you're welcome. You're
Thank
welcome. But
you.
it's funny that it's the highest compliment because here you are, an award-winning photographer. You're a chef, which I want to get into the chef and the clothing line and kind of talk to you about those things too. But that's funny that that's the highest compliment, which really does track with how we perceive ourselves as women, how your photo club helps you to perceive yourself. It's like that's all we want, right? We want to be likable. We want to be funny. We just want to be our true selves, and
Yeah,
it
we
just
just
comes through
want to
in
be
everything you
ourselves.
do.
Yeah, and just to just be like hang out with people who are like, you know what, I really like you if for you. And it sounds cheesy, but it is terrifying to do that, Susan. It is really, really, really terrifying to just let it all hang out. So the fact that it's being received well, I appreciate that because my humor can come out sideways sometimes, and I'm not for everybody. And so I'm glad to know I'm
Oh,
for
well,
you.
I guess mine is sideways then too, because I love it. And again, like I think more people are sideways too, because if you're already 46 for your Substack number 46, I'd say a lot of people appreciate your humor, Lisa.
No, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'll just keep on rolling. I'll keep on doing my thing over there.
Yes, you have to. Please don't stop. So it's funny, one of the questions I was going to ask you is what is one thing that people are generally surprised to find about you? But I don't think you have just one thing. I think you have many things. So what's one of the things that people are surprised to find out about you?
Well, one of them used to be that I was a mom because I never talked about my son. And so I think I've kind of conquered that. So now the biggest thing is to find out that I'm a chef.
Yeah.
So I was doing museum curation at the Getty Center in Los Angeles, the new, like the, well, it's not new anymore, but the big one on the hill. And I went to culinary school in the evening. So I was doing, that was my day job. And then I went to culinary school at night, and then I ended up launching a catering business. And so I had that for a while. But before I did that, I did a stint in a lot of restaurants with a lot of really prominent pastry chefs. And it was so much fun and so hard and so exhausting and just all the things. I got frustrated with the business because back when I was doing it, women went to pastry. I didn't want to be in pastry. I don't like the finicky details. I don't want the fussy touches. I wanted to cook on the line. I wanted to cook. And that wasn't going to happen,
That
not
wasn't
for
an
a long
option really
time.
back then.
No, no. And I was at three different restaurants, and that wasn't an option. So then I launched my own catering business and started catering for Hollywood clientele. And I do have a funny anecdote. Phil Rosenthal of Somebody Feed Phil, he was the producer of Everybody Loves Raymond. We used to do his parties, and he's obsessed with my spicy tuna wontons. Just like a little bit of a claim to fame. But after doing that for so long, I just got burnout. And I was like, I just want to feed people for love. I don't want to feed people for money anymore. And so I sold the business, and then I got pregnant and had my son, and I started a clothing line for children. And I had an organic clothing line in Los Angeles, and I was stocked in stores. And then the pandemic hit, and that's where we came in at the top of the podcast.
Yeah, I feel like you should be like 112 for all of these careers that you had.
I used to be so embarrassed about them, though. That's the thing. But I know, but because, it's my parents grew up where you did the same job your
Oh,
entire life,
I
right?
see.
So to jump around and to be someone who says, you know what? I got what I needed from this. I'm done. And to not be able to pretend that I can do it for a second longer past that
Then you want
point.
to, right? But I
Exactly.
also think they all integrate, right? I mean, like, for example, you share recipes on your Substack, and I'll tell you what, like, I actually printed because I'm from the 1900s. I have to print things still. Sorry. Printed out a couple of your recipes, and I haven't tried them yet because it's right now I'm an empty nester. I kind of need a bigger crowd, but I can't wait. And they look so good, but there's usually unique ingredients, but they're not difficult, at least not the ones that I printed out. And so all of these things that you've done in your past have sort of led you, like understanding women in the career of food and being a chef, and then, your clothing line and understanding what looks beautiful and how to photograph product, probably kind of all in Anne in bringing you to where you are now, So yeah, I think it's amazing. I'm very impressed with all of your lives.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's really made me have a soft spot in my heart for women who are creative and in creative industries and in industries where they are entrepreneurial and promoting themselves, And that's like what I hear so much is these women who are like, oh, I'm just an artist. And because I say, well, you're an entrepreneur, you are your own business. Like, this is cool. This is your thing. And while I'm just an artist, I just paint. But look at this magical world that you live in. Why wouldn't you turn the camera on this world and let us see and this, your process? And there's so much more than just the painting. There's just always so much more to you. And so when somebody can realize that, it really is like flipping on a light switch. And we all
Well,
have
and you
it.
wouldn't have been able to see that in them if you hadn't learned how to see that in yourself too, right? So all of that, it all comes together. Just in kind of speaking to those moments, career growth and just growth even as individuals often comes from moments that stretch us, like failures and no's and this isn't going to work, or I didn't end up making the income I was hoping to make. So do you have sort of a moment of growth that has helped you sort of define your success today, or a failure or something like that?
I mean, I think if I hadn't stopped at 40 and just made that reevaluation, I don't know that I would be who I am or have anything I have right now. But I do want to say that if I make anything look easy, I don't mean to, because it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of dedication. And I think my biggest failure maybe would have been giving my talents and my gifts away to other people to serve what they were building and not to build my own thing and not to trust that I could use them for myself as they should be, and then choose when to use them for others, for a nice compensation or for a gift because I choose to. And I had to learn the value of my own skills and time in order to be able to do that. But for 40 years, I was very much a pawn in what benefited other people. So I don't know if that's a failure, but that is a big lesson. It's a hard
No, I
lesson.
mean, I, and again, it doesn't have to be that you failed at something because, and I guess that really is kind of the point that sometimes we qualify these things as failures, you know, stopping a business, starting a new one, when in fact it was all necessary to get to the path that you're on now. And I think that stopping and starting like that, it was a good lesson for you. You know, you learned that that's okay. And I think other women, I think it's a great lesson for other women as well, especially creatives, because you can't always confine your creative abilities into one little lane or one little pocket. You know, if you have a creative mind, like it needs to explore other options and lots of things, and that's okay.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is we really only call it creative with women. I think with men, it's called entrepreneurial or innovative, or it has a very
That's true.
direct word. It really is, when you think about it, it is innovation. You are innovating on something that probably exists in another format, but you're just spinning it in a different way. And that's what I've done. I'm using the iPhone to take photos virtually and to teach women self-portrait photography, that and nobody's doing it in that way. And it is creative, but it's also just it's just innovation too. And I think if people start looking at what they're doing through that lens, they might have a little pep in their step afterwards.
I know they would. All right, well, let's get down to some rapid fire questions. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be rapid. It can be mildly quick questions.
Okay, I'm down for either.
Okay, so what's your guilty pleasure outside of your entrepreneurial slash creative world?
I have a couple. Chocolate
I hear
and young adult fiction. Like I
Really?
really want to be the type of person that says that I do have the New York Times bestsellers, but I don't read them. They're just around.
Are we talking like give me an example.
Oh, we're talking like, okay, because it's relevant, it's timely. Bell Burden, Strangers, right? Everybody's reading it. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to pretend I'm going to read it. I like fantasy. I like gore. I like horror. I like mystery. I love a locked room mystery. I love things like that. I love stuff at the end of the day that I don't have to really think too much about, that I can just sort of tune out and enjoy.
Like escape. Yeah, that mental escape.
Absolutely.
All right, what's your current creative obsession?
Ooh, I'm cooking. I'm finding my
Cooking.
way back into the kitchen. So those recipes, I can't promise they're going to come. They're going to come when they're going to come. But when they come, they will be right and correct. So yeah, finding my way back into the kitchen and feeding people.
Nice. Okay, so then when you're working in your own space, are you a podcast listener? Are you a playlist? Are you both? Like what's in your ear?
Spotify playlists all the time. I'm having a beef with the algorithm right now because it's figured out what I like. So it's just playing the same thing over and over again.
How
And it's,
dare it do that to
yeah,
you?
I know we're fighting. We're not getting along. So my son has been making playlists. So I've been listening to his playlists, and those are pretty good.
Awesome. Yeah, there's nothing like a good playlist to get you through a busy work day.
Yeah,
Totally
with
changes everything.
some fresh music.
Right? Oh, do you encourage women when you're doing your photo shoots, do they ever have music in the background to sort of like help them feel comfortable, or do you ever suggest that?
We don't really do music, but there's usually a supportive friend. So I usually have them bring somebody who can be my legs and move the tripod for
Oh,
us.
gotcha. Okay.
But there's restrictions. They're not allowed to be a backseat driver. They're not allowed to second guess. They're only there to provide positive physical and
Yeah,
mental
a
support.
prop manager. Prop manager, that's
That's
it.
it. That's it. So no, there's usually a lot of laughter and belly laughs because they do a good job choosing their people. So music isn't really necessary.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, well, that's even better, having your little safe person. Well, listen, before we wrap up, I did want to ask you just really quickly about your book. I know that you are working on a nonfiction book, so I just wanted you to tell everybody about that real quick.
Well, when you asked me about my biggest failure, it was on the tip of my tongue to say getting an agent, but I haven't quite failed yet because I'm still persevering. And people have asked me, like, why don't you just self-publish? And I'm going to be really honest about that. Okay, number one, I want to be on the New York Times bestselling list. And I know I just copped not really reading them, but I still really want
But she'd
it.
read yours.
I would totally read mine. And then number two, I don't want to do this alone. I want a team. I want people who I love and love me back and are rooting for this as hard as I am, and I don't want to do it by myself. So I'm pursuing the traditional publishing route, and it is the stories of the women who've gone through the challenge, and it's interviews with them, and it's their self-portraits, and it's all about how they are belonging to themselves. And it's the only book I can find out there that has given them the camera, and that they are not necessarily celebrities and public figures. They're
Right.
the woman next door who owns the bakery. They're our best friend. They're our grandmother. And I think
Real
that's what
women.
makes it special. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm rooting for you. It sounds amazing. I love
Thank
the
you.
concept, and I'm
Thank
sure
you. And
somebody else
your
will too.
book is phenomenal, by
Oh,
the way.
thank you. Thank you
Everything
very much.
that you all put out is phenomenal, but the book is especially beautiful. I was excited.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you
I
as a
had your photo out and
photographer.
I was like,
I know, I saw that. I was like, what is she doing?
Hey, if you can't count on me to do it, who can you count on, really?
Well,
I mean.
it just goes to your support. I mean, you are, we share this goal. We in our careers, I think what we both really want to do more than anything else is lift up other women. I know that's what we want to do. Our whole team does from Women Create, but I see that that's what you really want to do. And I think that is just so important. Yes, it's a successful career, but what you do for women is just really important. And I'm so glad we were able to have this conversation today. We're going to make sure in the notes to list all of your things because there's so many links and there's so many places women can go to sort of meet you, join the photo club. As I said, you might see me in there because I think I would really benefit from it too. But it has been sincerely a pleasure chatting with you today. And thank you for your honesty and for your authenticity and for bringing that to our podcast today. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your platform and for all that you do. I'm so grateful.
Thank you so much for joining us today for the World of Women Create podcast. As we close the studio door on today's episode, we hope you're walking away with a little more color and a lot more inspiration. The World of Women Create is ever evolving, and we are so grateful you're on this path with us. To stay connected between episodes, visit us at womencreate.com. Until next time.